ॐ योगेन चित्तस्य पदेन वाचां मलं शरीरस्य च वैद्यकेन योपाकरोत्तं प्रवरं मुनीनां पतञ्जलिं प्राञ्जलिरानतोऽस्मि. ऐ बौ डौन् टु दि एमिनेण्ट् सेज् पतञ्जलि हु रिमूव्ड् impurities of the mind through yoga, of speech through grammar, and of the body through medicine. One way of realizing God is total surrender to Ishvara or God. Surrender, according to Patanjali, is to do japa, a repetition of God's name. Repetition means not merely repeating like a parrot, but to go on feeling the meaning of the name of God, which is called Om, Pranava, Om. In my last class, I have given a very nice illustration, just as a very hungry person, the moment he remembers some nice food, his mouth starts watering. This is a very mild example. If we can feel the presence of God as vividly whenever we remember God's name, that is called real japa. Holy Mother, she used to say that just as an alarm clock goes on ticking, so also one, the name of God should go on in one's mind. At the same time, she also made a very wonderful statement. What is the use of repeating God's name a million times if there is to be no feeling behind it? If we can repeat the name of God once with feeling, then that is much more effective than doing it many times. In this connection, Sri Ramakrishna also tells the father of Balaram Basu, why is it these people are not able to progress in spiritual life, even though they do so much of repetition of God's name? Here is the explanation. They do not feel for God. Why? Because their minds are still so much attached to the world. And if they are really wanting God, then they feel it, even the very name. In my past classes, I have given lots of examples. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mind, where do you think it was dwelling all the time? On Krishna. And anything that revokes the association of Krishna used to throw him into ecstasy. For example, he was passing through a village and somebody told him, the clay from this village is used in a musical instrument called khol. Immediately he went. Now that is called artha bhavana or feeling. And we experience in our day-to-day life towards those who are near and dear. One telling illustration of this from Sri Ramakrishna's teachings, he gives an example. Suppose a man is sweeping and another man comes and tells, do you know, so and so had died. If that person who died is known to this person but has no relationship, that means he doesn't have the feeling towards him, then he simply says, oh, too bad, sorry to hear about it. But if that person is a very beloved person, remember what he said? The broomstick falls from his hands, he falls unconscious. That is called feeling. And we must have that kind of feeling towards God. Then the God and God's name are associated. And if we can attain to that state of feeling, immediately we also become liberated. Not only we become liberated, there is another psychology involved there. That psychology is anything that affects us, changes our body, changes our mind, modifies our body and mind instantaneously. How it does, we will deal in our future classes. So this was what we discussed in our whole class, last class. Then Patanjali raises a question. What is the result of this doing japa? Japa means tat japaha tat artha bhavanam. Japa means repeating, remembering God's name with intense feeling. Intense feeling and intense yearning These are the words of Ramakrishna. Vyakulata. These are the words of Narada Maharshi. Tad vismarane parama vyakulata iti. There is one aphorism, Narada Bhakti Sutras. If we forget, any devotee forgets God, he feels like a fish that is brought out of water feels. Parama vyakulata tad vismarane. Just even to remember, it's extremely painful. So, what is the result of this type of japa? Says, tataha pratyak chetana adhigamaha api antaraya abhavascha. As the result of this japa comes the knowledge of the Atman and destruction of the obstacles to that knowledge. How does that knowledge come? Knowledge of the self? The point we have to remember repeatedly is, God doesn't give us realization. Guru doesn't give realization. Nobody gives us realization. Nobody can give realization. And no, there is no need for anyone to give us self-knowledge, because we are the self all the time. Then what does Guru, God, Scripture, or anybody else, what do? They merely assist in the removal of the obstacles. Now, Patanjali, in the later chapters, he gives a beautiful example. Kshetrikavat. There is a field, there is a river, and the field needs water. How to bring water to the field? Just make a channel. What is the meaning of making a channel? Removing the obstruction between the body of water and the field. That is what we do when we dig a well, a tank, etc. This is Vedanta's particular emphasis on, always we have to say, Sri Ramakrishna used to say, Holy Mother used to say, God cannot be realized without His grace. What does it mean? Does God bring realization from somewhere? It is lying in India, in Kamarpukur, and then out of compassion, He flies there and brings it and gives it to you? No. Very interesting incident is there. I cannot refrain myself doing it. You know, those who read Ramayana, when Hanuman did not know what was his potentially hidden power, a guru comes forward and says, Hanuman, have you forgotten that when you were a small baby, you flew to the sky? And immediately, yes, yes. So it was said he was cursed so that he need not to do any unnecessary harm, damage to others. But by these words, he simply was reminded of what his inner power was. And then he jumped. And then, you know what happened? He brought news to Rama after half destroying the world. Now, that's very interesting. I want to dwell a moment on that. Hanuman, what did Hanuman do? He went to Sri Lanka and he met Sita. Then he let her know. What did he let her know? Because this Ravanasura was coming in so many forms, and she lost count in next time in what form he will come. Suddenly she saw this monkey, small, tiny monkey. And then he was talking in human language. Oh Sita, I am a messenger of Rama. And she said, this devil has come taking another form. Then he understood immediately, you know, because if he goes near, she is getting frightened. So he stands at a distance and then he glorifies all the deeds of Rama. And the moment she heard it, she forgot all this. Her face was beaming as she was listening. What a beautiful description in the Ramayana. Then Hanuman slowly was approaching. Again Sita was afraid. Maybe this fellow is going to do something. Because when Ravanasura came, in what form he came? In the form of a ascetic, monk. Now he is praising Rama, but who knows? Then he has to let her know that he is her savior. This is the interesting part. He is her savior. So, how to know? He has a ring belonging to Sri Rama. And that ring cannot be found in anyone else, accepting genuinely, because she recognizes this is Rama's signature, and she trusts him. This story is well known. And then he asks permission. I am hungry, let me eat. Then he eats almost all the fruits, destroys the entire fruits. And then he goes and then destroys half the burns, half the Lanka, meets Ravana's and all that. And then he goes. Now, if we have to pause ourselves and then say, what were the fruits that he had eaten? And why did he destroy only half of the Lanka? He was quite capable of destroying the whole Lanka. Why did he destroy only half? So the commentators come to our aid. What are the fruits? Adhyatma Ramayana. What are the fruits? What is it that binds us? The fruits of our karma, both what we call punya and papa, both. If it is virtuous, even more poisonous than papa. Do you understand what I am talking about? If we are suffering, that is the something which there is a less of a curtain between us and God. But if we are enjoying, it's a wonderful family, loving wife, most loving husband, lovely children. Do you know what happens? God has very little place there. But if you are suffering, there is always a place for God. Because Sankatakale Venkata Ramana. So, what are those fruits? The Hanuman has destroyed the fruits of karma, karma phala. But then Rama has to come. Why? Because the man was unable to recognize. What is the symbolism of this? You know what did the commentator say? Who was Hanuman? Hanuman came to Ravanasura in the form of terrible misery. Half of his, he could not help himself. He thought he was a very powerful man. Now he could not help himself. In fact, Hanuman out of compassion only left half the town. What is that half? He destroyed all the karmas of Ravanasura of this life. But that final removal of ignorance can only be done by the direct realization of God. Then he says, Hanuman is considered in South Indian tradition as Guru. Mukhya Prana is called, special name, not Prana, Mukhya Prana. He is the Guru, Paramaguru. Who is a Guru? He who connects the individual with the Paramatma. So first Paramatma, when he is gracious, he sends the Guru. What does the Guru do? He will destroy our papa as well as our punya. And then slowly God comes. So Hanuman came back and took Rama and Lakshmana and he went there. And he destroyed. What did Rama destroy? Already Hanuman had destroyed. What did Rama destroy? The karma phala of Ravanasura was destroyed by Hanuman. Whereas the ignorance of Ravanasura was destroyed by Rama himself. Then he became merged in him. This is the inner symbolism. So a guru, he doesn't give us God realization. Even God cannot give realization. How does God destroy our ignorance? He comes in the form of a guru. And the guru, that's why it is said, you know, if it is a Sadguru, like Sri Ramakrishna or Holy Mother, they take all the papas. You heard about it. That's why they used to suffer. Did you hear that they take away not only your papa, they also take away your punya? Because they don't come to give, real Sadguru doesn't come to give three things. Dharma, Artha and Kama are not given by any Sadguru. He gives only one. What is that? Moksha. Then what about Dharma, Artha, Kama? That is given by the karma. Karma creates Punya and Papa. Punya and Papa give Dharma, Artha, Kama less or more. And that needs to be destroyed. And that is what the guru comes and then he destroys these things. But the final ignorance must be destroyed only by God. How it is, you know, when the sun rises, the darkness of the night automatically disappears. And until that time, it is not possible to get rid of the darkness. What the guru does, he facilitates, he gives us the eyes to experience the light. When the light automatically comes. Sri Ramakrishna also tells profound things. When God is pleased, you know, it is like he says, when the sun is about to rise, then the whole eastern horizon, it becomes pinkish. What is that pinkishness here? A devotee gets faith in God, and he has devotion, he has discrimination, he has dispassion, and he says only before the rise, true faith comes. And that true faith is Guru Shastra. Yes, God exists, and I can attain him. That 100% firm conviction comes, then it is not far away when the realization comes. What is the point we are discussing it? That God and his name are one and the same. By the repetition of God, we are actually realizing God in our heart of hearts, intellectually. When that God comes into our heart, really, when we feel, then what happens? Pratyak Chetana Adhigamaha, the aspirant realizes his own true nature. How does it happen? Antaraya Abhavascha. All the obstacles, all the darkness, it is removed. And in Vedantic terms, darkness always means both virtue and vice. Don't even say, oh, my virtue I will retain and my vice I will give it to God. No, when God comes, he destroys everything. From Vedantic point of view, any duality, any separation or difference from God is called avidya or ignorance. So he takes away both. Sri Ramakrishna's statements, it is scattered like jewels throughout the gospel. He gives an example. I am just reminding you, Sri Ramakrishna refers to Sri Krishna's call to the gopis. Sri Krishna went to the banks of the Yamuna and he started playing the flute. And so many gopis prayed to Mother Katyayani, Divine Mother, we want to have union with Krishna. And so many gopis simply came. This is, you know that. The next part is, there are some gopis who could not come because their relatives, their husbands, their children, they were forcibly keeping them. There is no way they could come to Sri Krishna. Then what happened? Some one gopi was milking the cows. Another gopi was cooking food. Another gopi was suckling her baby. Like that, various. Then what happens? Hearing the sweet flute of Bhagavan Krishna, their hearts started burning, parama vyakulata, intense yearning. We are unable to go. And then Sri Ramakrishna says, the fire of burning because of their yearning separation from Krishna burnt away all the sinful deeds of theirs, but punya remained. The punya remained. Punya means virtue remained. They will be separate. Why? Because they will be enjoying this world. Their remembrance of Krishna burnt completely all their virtues. And they attained to salvation. That is not actually our direct subject. But the comparison is so marvelous. So what about the other gopis who were able actually to meet Krishna? Before meeting Krishna, their idea was, we love Krishna, we want to be with him, we want to enjoy him. But he was God. You embrace fire. This is my favorite example. You embrace fire. Our fire embraces you. What do you become? What does fire become? Does fire become you, or you become the fire? If you touch a powerful electric wire, what do you become? And if anyone touches you, what happens to that person? He also becomes powerful electricity. Any number of people. That is the beautiful analogy. Fire embraces us, we become fire. These people embraced whom? Krishna. What did they become? That they express it in that beautiful poem called Gopika Gitam. The graphic description Bhagavata gives is thrilling. Krishna disappeared because their egos have come. We could get Krishna. That is ego. No, you can't get Krishna. Unless Krishna comes to you out of his grace, you cannot. If the darkness ever thinks. Now this is another question. Very interesting question. When the sun rises, what happens to the darkness? What is the word we use? It gets, when the light comes, what happens to darkness? It gets destroyed. Is that a correct word? No. What happens to the darkness? It turns into, merges into light. See, what a difference it makes. As though the darkness ran away somewhere and light is different, darkness is different. No, darkness and light, they are two aspects of one and the same, obverse and reverse of the coin. So when the egotism had risen in the Gopika's mind, then Krishna disappeared. What does that mean? When ego arises, God disappears. When God appears, ego disappears. Disappears means what? We use this word, destroyed. Ego is destroyed. What does it mean? It means the individual small ego has become the universal ego. The individual has become the supreme. What is the point of all this discussion? The point is that through the japa, japa means feeling of the presence of God. What does it do? It destroys the obstacles. Means what? We realize everything as Brahman. Let me dwell a moment on this subject. You know Vedanta and Yoga Sutras. They are two different ways of interpretation. But the foundation is Vedanta. Now here Patanjali says, through the repetition of God's name, Japa, Pratyak Chetana Adhigamaha, man realizes that he is the divine. So the Guru comes and he says, Tattvamasi, thou art that. And the person realizes after some time or immediately, depends upon, what does he realize? Guru comes and says, you are that. What does the disciple, how does the disciple reply to the Guru? He says, I am, do you get what I am talking about? The Guru comes and teaches, thou art that. And if the disciple has got enough qualification, how does he respond to the Guru's teaching? Sooner or later. What does he say? Aham Brahmasmi. I am, you are right. You said you are Aham Brahmasmi. Do you know, do you see the fun of it? The Guru says, you are that. And the disciple says, I am you. I am the Guru. That is why Sri Ramakrishna says, Shukadeva's incident, you know, Janaka Maharaj said to Shukadeva, give my fee right now before I give you the teaching. Because the moment I say the word that, what will you feel? I am you. And who is going to give fee to whom? So, Guru says, you are that. Disciple says, I am that. I am that means, I am everything. That is the important. Aham Brahmasmi means what? I am everything. If I am everything, I am also the Guru. The difference between I am a disciple and you are a Guru, that also vanishes with the dawn of knowledge. Then, everything, not only the Guru, everything is Brahman. There is nothing which is not Brahman. The whole universe is nothing but Brahman. That is the realization. That is what Pratyak Chetana Adhigamaha. How does it happen? Antaraya Abhavascha. Merely by removing the obstacles. From Vedantic point of view, what is the obstacle? To feel, I am separate from you, I am separate from you. This is called dvaita, duality. And that is the greatest obstacle. That is why what is most important, the body is not an obstacle. The mind is not an obstacle. Nothing in this world is an obstacle. What is the problem? To feel that this is the whole of reality. Again, I have to remind you, Ramakrishna gives a beautiful parable. Once four blind men, they were asked to describe an elephant. All the four people were touching an elephant. What was their statement? One fellow, for example, says, the elephant is like a pillar, like a winnowing basket, etc. Each person was telling one part of the elephant as the complete elephant. They were not wrong. What they touched was really an elephant only. And what they were talking about is an elephant only. What was their problem? They are identifying one part with the whole. So we are saying, I am the body, I am man, I am a woman. There is nothing wrong. Is that Brahman? Yes, it is Brahman. Then why is it called ignorance? It's called ignorance because we say that this is the only reality and nothing else. That's why we say, I am. How to get rid of it? You don't destroy the body. You don't destroy the mind. You merge it. All the bodies is Brahman. All the minds is also Brahman. Individual is now looked upon by himself as the universal, that is called Aham Brahmasmi. And when such a state comes, the man doesn't recognize the difference between one and the other. There are so many incidents rush into my mind. Sri Ramakrishna was one day smoking and Narendranath was nearby, if you remember. After smoking, he wants to, Narendra also to smoke. And Narendra was very hesitant. This holy person, he knew how Sri Ramakrishna suffered when he touched some people, some objects. So he was very hesitant You know, I wanted to ask you, why was he so very hesitant? Because the ignorance still is there. I am different and you are different. Now here is Maja. Maja is, if he thinks Sri Ramakrishna is different, has he got the correct idea about Sri Ramakrishna? Or was he thinking Sri Ramakrishna is an exalted personality, not Brahman? Are you getting what I am trying to drive at? If Narendranath knew that Sri Ramakrishna is Brahman, would he hesitate? Does he consider himself, I am inferior and you are superior? So long as we cherish, I am inferior, you are superior, or I am superior and you are inferior, the other way also, that indicates ignorance. How did Sri Ramakrishna respond to that Narendranath's response? You know, he said, what an ignorance. From one point of view, Sri Ramakrishna's body was very pure. It could not touch anything impure. From the other point of view, what is impurity? Impurity comes from where? From outside, from something different. How can we say I am pure and impure at the same time? Anyway, these are all aside questions. Yes, the thought came to my mind, so I wanted to share it with you. So, by removal of the obstructions, the self by itself, it manifests. The moment you remove the obstruction, the self manifests. And that is the result of doing japa with artha bhavana. And what are the obstacles? Last class, we decided there were 9 obstacles. Vyadhi, sthyana, samshaya, pramada, alasya, avirati, bhranti darshana, alabdha bhumikatvat, anavastitatvani, chitta vikshepahate, navamaha, antarayaha. 9 obstacles. What are they? Sickness, mental laziness, doubt, lack of enthusiasm, sloth, craving for sense pleasures, false perception, despair caused by failure to concentrate, and unsteadiness in concentration. These distractions are the obstacles to knowledge. Let us take one by one very briefly. Sickness. Sickness is disorder of the humors, secretions, and the organs of the body. According to Ayurveda, Ayurveda is the science of health from Indian standpoint of view. According to Ayurveda, the disbalance between 3 is called disease. The English word disease is very interesting word. Dis is disbalance. You know, Chinese medicine, what they say, there is a balancial difference between the yin and yang. Let's say, have you ever seen that black and white like that? A circle, black and white. So, according to Ayurveda, there are 3 elements which constitute the body. Kapha, Vata and Pitta. I don't know exact English equivalents to that. These are the 3 elements. And this is the body, physical body. Any disbalance between these 3 bring about dis-ease. And restoration of this balance between these 3 is removal of disease, according to Ayurveda. Okay, what about the mind? Mind also, as we know, can be very, very sick. Mildly sick and seriously sick. I want to ask you a question. Don't get angry with me. How many of us are mentally healthy? If I ask this question, very few admit that they are mentally diseased. But the reality is we are all mentally sick, is a little or more. But the nature of the sickness is that we don't think we are sick. We think everyone else is sick, excepting us. What is mental health according to Vedanta? What is the mental health? If a person knows, this is me, he is mentally healthy. Not from worldly point of view. Worldly point of view, very few, they are ignorant of their own identity. Very few. But they don't know what they are talking about. You know, suppose you come across a person. You ask him, who are you? So, I am Ram. Okay, fine. And then, next second, suppose somebody else asks, sir, what is your name? Yes, my name is Krishna. This fellow opens his eyes. Just now he said, I am Rama. Next moment, what is he telling? I am Krishna. Then, how do you label that person in your own mind? Mad, isn't it? This is from Vedantic point of view, our real identity is I am Brahman. And if you say give any answer and you are giving various answers, not in the form of who am I, but in the form of how am I. How are you? Oh, I am not all right. What is the problem? The headache. After 5 minutes, how are you? I am fine. Why? I have no headache now. After some time, I am happy. After some time, I am unhappy. After some time, I am so and so. Etc., etc., etc. You know that funny story? In a school, a small boy was asked, what is your age? He said, I am 6 years old. And how old is your father? He said, 6 years old. The teacher said, explain yourself. The boy said, you know, he became a father only when I was born. What a wonderful thing. We are changing. Before, he says, I'm an unmarried person. After some time, I'm a married person. After some time, I'm a father. After some time, who are you? I'm a young boy. Who are you? I'm a young man. Who are you? I'm a middle-aged man. Who are you? I'm an old man. Then the next question will be not who are you, who was he? Someone else has to answer. So when a person is going on changing his identity, what should be, how should he be considered as mad? Is it not? We don't do it because we all reinforce each other. Because if I call you mad, you will also call me Mahamad. That is why I pat your back and you pat my back. Yeah, you pat my back saying, Swami, you are a very spiritual person. I pat your back saying, you are a great devotee. We go on complimenting each other, both in the state of ignorance only. Who is a really real individual? Talking about, Swami Vivekananda says, you have not become an individual. You are a individual now. You can be divided. When you become real individual, your identity would be very interesting. He doesn't say, I am Brahman. Because if he says, I am Brahman, who are you? He says, Sarvam Khalvidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman. There is no I or you. These are all nonsense. Anyway, what is the point we are discussing? That what is an obstacle? An obstacle is that which makes us aware and identify with our ignorance. That is called Vyadhi. Physical disease is caused, as I mentioned, because of the disbalance between kapha, vata and pitta. Kapha, vata, pittai, kanthava, rodhana, vidhau, smaranam, kutaste, krishna, tvadiya, pada, pankaja, pingjarastam, adyaiva, vishatu, me, manasa, rajahamsaha. It's a beautiful shloka, verse, in a stuti, hymn called Mukundamala. He says, O Krishna, let the swan of my mind enter into the cage of your lotus feet right now. Why? Because కంఠావరోధన కఫ వాత పిత్తై, వెన్ కఫ వాత అండ్ పిత్త ఆర్ చోకింగ్ మై థ్రోట్ కంఠ అవరోధన విధౌ స్మరణం కుతస్తే. స్మరణం ఇట్స్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ వర్డ్. స్మరణ మీన్స్ వాట్? రిమెంబరెన్స్, నాట్ అటరెన్స్. యువర్ స్పీచ్ ఈజ్ గాన్, బట్ అట్లీస్ట్ మెంటల్లీ కెన్ యూ రిమెంబర్ గాడ్? నో, ఐ కాంట్ రిమెంబర్ గాడ్. వై? బికాస్ వెన్ యు ఆర్ హ్యావింగ్ హెడేక్, వేర్ విల్ బి యువర్ మైండ్? వెన్ యువర్ స్టమక్ ఈజ్ బర్నింగ్, వేర్ విల్ బి యువర్ మైండ్? వీ హ్యావ్ నాట్ అటైన్డ్ టు దట్ స్టేట్. శ్రీ రామకృష్ణ కెన్ సే, ఓ బాడీ, ఓ మైండ్, యూ డీల్ విత్ యువర్ ఓన్ సిక్నెస్. ఓ మైండ్, లెట్ అస్ థింక్ అబౌట్ గాడ్. వీ హ్యావ్ నాట్ అటైన్డ్ టు దట్ స్టేట్. హీ కుడ్ విత్డ్రా హిజ్ మైండ్, బట్ నాట్ వీ. ఫర్ అస్ దట్ ఈస్ వై వ్యాధి ఈజ్ ఎ టెరిబుల్ అబ్స్ట్రక్షన్ టు స్పిరిచువల్, నాట్ ఓన్లీ స్పిరిచువల్ ప్రోగ్రెస్ బట్ టు ఎనీ ఈవెన్ వరల్డ్లీ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్. ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు ఎంజాయ్, యూ మస్ట్ హ్యావ్ ట్రెమెండస్ హెల్త్, ఫిజికల్ యాజ్ వెల్ యాజ్ మెంటల్. అవర్ వరల్డ్లీ హ్యాపీనెస్ ఈజ్ ప్రొపోర్షనేట్ టు అవర్ ఫిజికల్ అండ్ మెంటల్ హెల్త్. వ్యాధి, సిక్నెస్, దెన్ దెర్ ఈజ్ ఏ స్పెషల్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ అబ్స్ట్రక్షన్ కాల్డ్ మెంటల్ లేజినెస్. వై ఈజ్ ఇట్ కాల్డ్ మెంటల్ లేజినెస్? బికాస్ దెర్ ఈజ్ ఎ ఫిజికల్ లేజినెస్. వట్ ఈజ్ ఫిజికల్ లేజినెస్? వెన్ ది బాడీ ఈజ్ హెవీ, ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఆఫ్టర్ ఈటింగ్ ఎ లాట్ ఆఫ్ ఫుడ్, వాట్ హ్యాపన్స్? ది బాడీ బికమ్స్ వెరీ హెవీ. దేర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ టు డూ మైండ్. ది మైండ్ వాంట్స్ టు డూ సంథింగ్. ఇస్ అనదర్ థింగ్ ఆల్సో యూ మస్ట్ హ్యావ్ నోటీస్డ్, వెన్ వీ బికమ్ ఓల్డ్ అవర్ మైండ్ డజంట్ బికమ్ ఓల్డ్, బాడీ బికమ్స్ ఓల్డ్. ది డిజైర్స్ ఆర్ స్ట్రాంగ్. వీ వాంట్ టు ఈట్ మోర్, వీ వాంట్ టు ఎంజాయ్ మోర్, వీ వాంట్ టు హియర్ మోర్, వీ వాంట్ టు డూ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ మోర్. వీ వాంట్, వీ ఫీల్ లైక్ రన్నింగ్ లైక్ యంగ్ మ్యాన్. బట్ వాట్ హ్యాపన్స్? ది బాడీ డజంట్ మూవ్. ఇట్ హ్యావ్ యూ సీన్ పీపుల్ విత్ వాకర్స్? హూ వాక్స్ ఫస్ట్? ఇట్ ఈస్ ది వాకర్ విచ్ వాక్స్ ఫస్ట్, ఇజంట్ ఇట్? హౌ పెథెటిక్ ఇట్ అపియర్స్. బట్ దట్ ఈస్ ఎ నేచురల్ కండిషన్ ఆఫ్ ఓల్డ్ ఏజ్. బట్ వీ డోంట్ డూ నాట్ నీడ్ టు బి ఓల్డ్ టు హ్యావ్ దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ లేజినెస్. వీ కెన్ బి హ్యావ్ లేజినెస్ రైట్. యూ ఈట్ మోర్, దెన్ లేజినెస్ విల్ కమ్. యూ ఈట్ లెస్, లేజినెస్ విల్ కమ్. దెన్ యూ వర్క్ హార్డ్ మోర్, లేజినెస్ విల్ కమ్. యూ వర్క్ లెస్, లేజినెస్ విల్ నాట్ కమ్. బట్ వాట్ కమ్స్? రెస్ట్లెస్నెస్. వాట్ డూ యూ నో వాట్ ఈజ్ రెస్ట్లెస్నెస్? వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ టాపిక్. వాట్ ఈజ్ రెస్ట్లెస్నెస్? రెస్ట్లెస్నెస్ ఈజ్ టెరిబుల్ మెంటల్ లేజినెస్. ఇజ్ ఇట్ రైట్? మైండ్ ఈజ్ మూవింగ్ లైక్ ఎ రేస్ హార్స్ ఫ్రమ్ హియర్ టు దేర్. హౌ కుడ్ యూ కాల్ ఇట్ లేజినెస్? ఇట్ ఈస్ రెస్ట్లెస్ విత్ రిగార్డ్ టు అదర్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్. బట్ విత్ రిగార్డ్ టు దట్ పర్టికులర్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ విచ్ యూ వాంట్ టు థింక్ అబౌట్, యూ అండర్స్టాండ్, యూ కాంట్ ఫోకస్ యువర్ మైండ్ ఆన్ గాడ్. వాట్ డూ యూ కాల్ ఇట్? యూ వాంట్, యూ డిజైర్, యూ సే ఐ వాంట్ టు ఫోకస్ మై మైండ్ ఆన్ గాడ్, బట్ యువర్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ రన్నింగ్ ఏ. వాట్ ఈజ్ ఇట్ కాల్డ్? లేజినెస్. అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ ఎ గ్రేట్ అబ్స్టకల్. అండ్ హూ డజంట్ సఫర్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ మెంటల్ లేజినెస్? దిస్ ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది నైన్. ఫస్ట్ ఫిజికల్ డిసీజ్, మెంటల్ డిసీజ్, దెన్ దిస్ ఈజ్ లేజినెస్, దెన్ డౌట్. వెరీ ఆఫన్ డౌట్ కమ్స్ టు అస్, ఈజ్ వాట్ మై గురు టోల్డ్, ఈజ్ ఇట్ ట్రూ? ఈజ్ వాట్ మై ది స్క్రిప్చర్ సెట్, ఈజ్ ఇట్ ఆల్సో ట్రూ? నౌ ఐఎమ్ డిస్కసింగ్ దీస్ పాయింట్స్ ఇన్ సచ్ ఎలాబరేషన్. దెర్ ఈస్ ఎ రీజన్ ఫర్ దట్. రీజన్ ఈజ్ వీ యూజ్ ఆల్ దీస్ వర్డ్స్, వీ నో అబౌట్ దీస్ స్టేట్స్, బట్ వీ హ్యావ్ నెవర్ గాన్ డీప్ ఇన్ టు దెమ్. వాట్ ఈస్ డౌట్? దెర్ ఆర్ పీపుల్ హూ డూ నాట్ బిలీవ్ ఇన్ గాడ్. వీ సే దే హ్యావ్ నో బిలీఫ్ ఇన్ గాడ్. దే ఆర్ కాల్డ్ నాస్తికస్. అండ్ ది రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ అస్, వీ లేబుల్ అవర్ సెల్స్ ఎస్ వాట్? ఆస్తికస్. డూ యూ బిలీవ్ ఇన్ గాడ్? లెట్ మీ గివ్ యూ అన్ ఇల్లస్ట్రేషన్. వాట్ డూ ది స్క్రిప్చర్స్ సే? ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ కమిటెడ్ మోస్ట్ హారిబుల్ అన్ఇమాజినబుల్ క్రైమ్స్, యూ అట్టర్ ది నేమ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ వన్స్ అండ్ యూ షుడ్ ఫీల్ అబ్సల్యూట్లీ ఫ్రీ. వన్స్ రామ్నామ్, కోటి కోటి జన్మ భాగే రన్ అవే. హ్యావ్ యూ హర్డ్ అబౌట్ ఇట్? షాల్ ఐ టెస్ట్ యూ? హౌ మెనీ ఆఫ్ యూ బిలీవ్ ఇట్? హౌ మెనీ ఆఫ్ అస్ రియల్లీ బిలీవ్ ఇన్ ఇట్? హౌ మెనీ టైమ్స్ వీఆర్ నాట్ టేకింగ్ రామకృష్ణస్ నేమ్? అండ్ దెన్ వాట్ డూ యూ సే? ఓ ఠాకూర్, ఐఎమ్ ఏ వీక్ క్రీచర్, ఐఎమ్ ఏ సిన్ఫుల్ క్రీచర్, ఐఎమ్ ఏ లోలీ క్రీచర్, ఓ లార్డ్, ఐ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ డివోషన్, ఐ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ఫెయిత్. ఆర్ వీ నాట్ సేయింగ్ దట్ టు ఠాకూర్? వీ డోంట్ సే టు ఈచ్ అదర్, బట్ వీఆర్ టెలింగ్ ఇట్ టు ఠాకూర్. అండ్ అట్ ది సేమ్ టైమ్ యూ ఆర్ సేయింగ్ ఠాకూర్, ఠాకూర్, ఠాకూర్ హౌ మెనీ టైమ్స్? వాట్ అబౌట్ శ్రీ రామకృష్ణస్ టీచింగ్? హీ సేస్, వాట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఫెయిత్ యూ హ్యావ్? వాట్? ఐ హ్యావ్ అట్టర్డ్ ది నేమ్ ఆఫ్ దుర్గా And what fear have I got? Have you read somewhere? Doubt comes. It is in the mind's nature is to have these doubts. That is an obstacle. It has to be removed. How can doubt be removed? What is the opposite of doubt? Faith. That is the correct word. Faith. Absolute. Like, you know, I gave the example, Ravanasura tied Rama's name to one man who was stranded and he was walking nicely over the waters. And then he became curious. It's a saying in English, curiosity kills the cat. It's exactly what he opened in the middle. He should have opened after reaching here. Stupid fellow, he opened on the way in the mid-ocean. And then he found only one word is there. What is that? Rama. Oof, this much. And then the moment, this oof means what? Doubt. Drowned. Then one sadhu came to see Ramakrishna at Dakshineswar. And he had a big book, you know. And Sri Ramakrishna observed the sadhu. Now and then he opens the book and then turns a few pages. It's a drama. Turns a few pages. And he smiles, closes the book, closes his eyes and meditates. And then again he opens. Where the bookmark is kept, he opens. Mind my words. Bookmark is there from there onwards. Sri Ramakrishna became curious, as you know. And he took the permission of the sadhu. He went and opened the book. And then he started turning. What was written in that book? On every page? Only one word, Rama. Now, my point is, why do you need such a big book? You need only one page. If it is Rama, all that you needed was one page. Do you really need one page? If you know Rama, can't you remember Rama? But you know, this is called Rama. That is how they pass their times. Yeah. Sri Ramakrishna was looked puzzled. And then the sadhu explained, after all, what is the essence of all scriptures, any scripture? God exists, it is true, and if you understand this much, you don't need to read, you don't need any more scripture. Who says? Who said that? Sri Ramakrishna said. What did he say? A man went to a town and he received a letter and he lost the letter. He was searching for the letter. After long search, he got it and he opened. He read what was written. When you return home, you bring a few things along with you. And what did he do? What did he do? He destroyed that letter. He took so much trouble to find out that letter. Then what did he do? He destroyed. So what is the essence of scriptures? God exists and you have to realize God. And once we really understand it, you don't need any scripture in this world. So that is the point. Doubt. Doubt and faith are opposite poles. But we start our life only with doubt, then less doubt, then less doubt, until finally no doubt at all. And that is the point of self-surrender. How? Because self-surrender means actual realization. And then journey has come to an end. That is the end of it. So this is called doubt. Then lack of enthusiasm. Directly proportionate. If you have doubt, your enthusiasm for anything is directly proportionate to lack of enthusiasm. But lack of enthusiasm can also be caused by other things. Like for example, you know, you go on reading worldly books, watching worldly films. Your enthusiasm for God, for doing japa, I'm not talking about God realization. I'm talking about just normal day-to-day spiritual practice. You don't practice with enthusiasm. Now, shall I ask you a very interesting question? How many of us do our day-to-day spiritual practices with tremendous enthusiasm? I know we practice, most of us practice regularly. Allotted time, sometimes even more. Is it done mechanically or is it done with tremendous enthusiasm? I am not going to ask you directly, I know. You examine your hearts. Find out, am I doing it with joy? Am I doing it because I have taken a vow, I will do this? Sometimes yes. Always? No. How do we know? How do we know? Because if you are really getting joy, we need a crane to pull you out of doing japa. But here what is, we are looking for any excuse for somebody to come and say, you know, there's a phone call. Immediately we jump up and run. Is it because of the phone call or because we are not getting any joy out of our spiritual practice? So, lack of enthusiasm, sloth. Sloth means it is terrible, terrible heaviness, craving for sense pleasures. We know what it is. Then comes false perception. What is false perception? To misunderstand the Guru's and the scripture's words in the opposite way. Misunderstand. Then, despair caused by failure to concentrate. This is a very wonderful point. You know, sometimes we are very sincere. We want to focus. We want to concentrate. But our mind is restless. As a result of our inability to concentrate, despair comes. Oh, I am unable to concentrate. What a horrible person I am. Many times we regret, isn't it? That is an obstacle to spiritual practice. What should we do? Should we not recognize? Yes, you recognize that you are unable to concentrate. Once you recognize, you say, I will try again. Otherwise, you are wasting your time. You know how it happens? Supposing you have done something you should not have done, and then you realize you have wasted your time. Having realized you have wasted your time, you go on thinking how you wasted your time. Is it a waste? Further waste. Already you wasted your time. Now 100 times repeating I have wasted my time is not going to rectify the matter. Immediately you do something. You are reading a book or you are doing japa. Your mind has gone somewhere. And then suddenly you come back with a start and say, oh, my mind is thinking something else. I wasted my time. Oh, I wasted my time. Instead of doing immediately more japam, what are you doing? What japam are you doing? I have wasted. This is real waste of time. Okay, the first one is caused by samskaras. The second one is caused by lack of intelligence. We should say, immediately we should say, yes, I have done something wrong. I should not repeat it. Let me try not to repeat it. Then we save the time. So that is called despair caused by failure to concentrate. And unsteadiness in concentration means alabdha bhumikatva is a beautiful word. Sometimes we attain to higher states of concentration, but then we are incapable of retaining them. I will give you one or two examples and close this talk. Once a young man was brought to Sri Ramakrishna, and then this man was constantly repeating God's name. Tears were flowing from his eyes. The parents of that man, relatives, they were concerned. What is this happening to this man? Ramakrishna, they brought him fortunately to Sri Ramakrishna. And Sri Ramakrishna, one look and he said, this man will not be able to retain this. He had attained to a very high state of spiritual experience, but he won't be able to retain it. Because it did not come from steadfast practice, it came as an emotional upliftment. As soon as his mind comes down, if someone impure person touches him, immediately his mind will come. Exactly after 1 or 2 days, immediately it happened. This state is called alabdha bhumikatvam. Another example, very beautiful example. Swami Subodhananda. Once his name was Khoka. Thakur used to call him Khoka. He came to Dakshineswar. And then Sri Ramakrishna asked him, do you meditate? He said, yes, I meditate every day. And how is your meditation? He said, not good. What happened? So sometimes I have real good meditation. And sometimes the mind doesn't go at all. Oh, is it so? Go to Panchavati and meditate. Sri Ramakrishna sent him. He went to Panchavati. In those days, there was a kind of stone, and people could sit. Sri Ramakrishna used to sit there and talk. He went there and he started meditating. But that day, the meditation was not that good. He was meditating because Sri Ramakrishna asked him to, but his mind was not that steady. And then after some time, Sri Ramakrishna went there, saw his disciple restless, and then he went and touched him casually. The moment he did that, Subodhananda's mind merged, went to deep. He became like a stone. After many hours, he came back. And then Sri Ramakrishna told him, from today onwards, you will, every day you will have this kind of meditation. This is called Guru Kripa. It is possible. Of course, he was also a nice recipient, fit recipient, not like us. But in the point we are talking about, sometimes we can attain to that state, but because of our lack of fitness of the mind, we cannot stay there. We have to come down. Sri Ramakrishna gives a beautiful example. There was a mongoose. It wants to, whenever danger threatens, it wants to go into its hole in the wall to be safe. But the moment some boys tied a stone to its tail. So the moment it enters a little bit, this weight of the stone, brick, it brings it down. It's a beautiful example. We also want to go to higher regions. But what happened? Our tails are tied with huge stones. The only difference between that story and our story is, there someone else tied its tail. Here we tied our ourselves. So, these are the 9 obstacles. And what is the result of these obstacles? 5 results will come. We will discuss these points. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.